This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Wayne, everyone. Today I have Evil, and how Evil and I met is via Twitter. And for those of you who don't know me, I am a podcast junkie. I usually have a headphone stuck in my ear 24/7 if you would allow me to do that and not communicate with people. And so how Evil and I met was he was listening to Lipson's The Feed, and Lipson is a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous podcast host. So he commented, and because Lipson is so good at fan interaction, they truly are, and they retweeted it, and I saw it in my timeline because I follow Lipson. So thank you, Lipson, for giving me Evil. And so Mr. Evil and I are going to have a conversation about podcasting primarily. I'm sorry to all you non-podcasters out there. I do apologize, but this is my happy place. I love you book authors, but podcasting is even my happier place because podcasting is the intimate experience that we all know and love. And so I'm going to let Mr. Evil take it away.
Sure, Wynn. Well, thanks very much for having me. I'm glad that Libsyn resharing some of my stuff reached you. So I had the chance to come on the show with you as well. So thanks very much for that. And like you, Wynn, I'm a huge fan of podcasting. I've been podcasting since, I'm not kidding when I say this, since October 14th, 2004, which means it is approaching my 15-year anniversary of the first time that I started a podcast. But the funny thing is, I've actually been doing all of the work of podcasting for a couple of years before that. I was doing internet radio prior to that. And then when podcasting hit the scene, it was a relatively straightforward process to get in the podcasting space, which led me to do a lot of things, one of which was meet the people behind Libsyn. This is way back in the day when it was ran by four dudes in Pittsburgh were running Libsyn. Got a chance to meet them and wrote a book called Podcasting for Dummies, which was a fairly popular book back in 2005. It's in its third printing right now. I'm excited that's still going strong. And I run a podcast consultancy these days. My clients are all around the world. They're businesses who typically don't want to become podcasters like us, but they really want to have a podcast. So they hire me and my firm to take them out of the technical behind the scenes stuff so they can focus on making really great content as well as running their business. So that's me in a nutshell. Hi, kids. Evo Terra. Nice to meet everyone out there.
Yes. Nice to meet the international fan base of Ask Wynn. Now, Evo, I have a question for you, and my question for you right out of bat is, what has been your favorite podcast episode that you have done or you have worked on?
Oh, wow. So after 15 years, there's a lot to consider. I myself have been the host of, I counted them up the other day, and I got to 15. I've had 15 different podcasts, which I guess is great. Either it's been mine or I've been a co-host on, one per year, I guess, is if you average that out, although that's not the case. These days, most of my efforts are focused on my show Podcast Pontifications that I do four times a week that is aimed specifically at podcasting, making podcasting better. So I've got a wide repertoire to choose from when it comes to a favorite that I've done. I guess to what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to my, not necessarily my roots of podcasting, but way back in the day, a podcast that you can no longer hear, it's no longer available. It was called, and this is going to sound a little funny, so let me explain it. It was called The Cult Cast. And it was called The Cult Cast because people for a significant amount of the time I've been alive on the planet have said, hey, man, you should have your own cult, not your own church, but your own cult. And so I decided after I think I had hosted four other podcasts by this time to give that a shot and to see what it would be like to put out a show called Evo's Cult Cast, and it was basically me talking about things in life that bugged me, if you will. Things wanted to change, and it was fun. I got about 11 episodes of that show before I finally killed it, because it was very much a show for me and for no one else. No one really cared about it. Yeah. But the fun thing was about that program is it really forced me to hone my ideas down so I could put them in a relevant, cogent thought process that others could enjoy as well. And indirectly, that led me to what I've been doing for the last year with podcast pontifications. It's kind of the same format. It's less than 10 minutes. But in this case, with podcast pontifications, it's me pontificating, thinking about, talking about the future of podcasting, not just any random thing that comes into my mind. I have found that for me, focus is much, much better.
Yes, I have found that for me. I agree with you. Focus is much, much, much better for me. And because I have a huge fan base, which is slowly transferring itself over to A Diary of a Fashionista, I hope they are, because I am more disability advocacy centered than I am anything else. But what would be your best advice for the newbie podcaster who wants to, let's say, get off Blog Talk Radio?
To get off of Blog Talk Radio?
Yes.
Well, step one, get off of Blog Talk Radio. They've been around for a very long time. You know, Blog Talk is around pre-podcasting. That's why their name is Blog Talk Radio. And not to disparage them completely, I mean, they do a fine service. It's an easy way for you to get started. Kind of Anchor these days is the new version of Blog Talk Radio that's done, in a similar fashion. But let me talk to get off is one thing, right? That's a matter of moving your show over, and that's technical. But let me instead answer the question with why you want to do that. So the reason you want to get off of Blog Talk Radio is so that you can increase the quality, the sound quality of your program, increase the production value of your program. Because for as enabling as Blog Talk Radio is, it makes it very easy to make a podcast. It doesn't necessarily make it better. And after a certain amount of time, when you're just the basics of Blog Talk Radio will start to hinder what you can do. Now, that's important today in June of 2019 when you and I record this win. That's important now because the quality of podcasting every year has steadily increased. Not for every podcast. But on average, we're seeing more and more people get into podcasting some 15 years after it was created who have a desire to make great sounding content. They're not just trying to play at radio, which I did for a number of years. They're not just hastily assembling things together and hoping they find an audience. There are people out there now in the podcasting space who are dedicating hours, tens of hours, in some cases over 100 hours of work to make a single episode that sounds amazing. And hard as you may try, you're never going to get an amazing sound out of the Blog Talk Radios of the world, the Anchors of the world, or some of the other uber cheap, in some cases free providers. The audience out there right now is being primed by listening to these new, really good, high-quality focused shows. The audience, the general podcast listener, as we get more of them coming into the space every day, have an expectation of quality that you may not be able to achieve unless you really focus in on your craft. Now, that excites me. Yeah, that's a lot more work, but that's also why it takes me 2.5 hours every single day to produce my 10-minute long episode. And that's still not enough. I wish I could do more. So if you're thinking, if you're out there listening and you're wondering, gee, can I do what I need to do with this free or cheap hosting provider that lets me use only a telephone to do stuff or has limited interactions with it? Probably not. You may want to invest time, energy, and effort into doing something better with your show, and your audience will likely reward you for that.
Now, funny story. There's a meaning behind the question I just asked you. I was on Blog Talk Radio, and I did Women's Women of Wisdom at the time on Blog Talk Radio. And yes, I think the feed is still in existence. You guys can Google the feed. And the day I was interviewing a famous holistic doctor out of California was the day that I quit with Spark Talk Radio. And the day I turned off to Lipson was after that horrible experience. Because with me, I was talking, and I did the guest interview, and then Fox Talk Radio decides not to let's guest in. You could hear me literally cry on my podcast. You could hear me literally cry. I promised my fan base that Ask Wynn, aka Wynn's the Woman of Wisdom, would still be in existence to this day. I now don't trust Blog Talk Radio to its extent. I don't trust Anchor to its extent because we have so many wonderful podcasts. Hosts like Lipson, thank you very much, and they know what they're doing. And I think Blog Talk Radio, like Blab, is going to get defunct one of these days. And then those who are on Blog Talk Radio don't be able to play go without a paddle because they'll have nowhere to go.
Yeah, you're exactly right, especially when you talk around the issue of trust. Once trust has been broken, if you're a podcast service provider, like a hosting company, like a conference call recording company, like an editing company, like any of the services that service providers make available to podcasters, and you violate trust, it's really hard to bring it back. And the reason it's hard to bring it back is you hinted at it when your audience trusts to you. They trust you're going to bring them engaging, interesting conversations they want to hear. So when one of the service providers that you are using, it doesn't matter if it's free or it's cheap, it doesn't matter. You've chosen to use that company. If one of those companies hinders your ability to deliver on the trust you've developed with your audience, there's no way you can trust that company again. So it's very, very damaging to your relationship with your client. So of course, that trust is something you do not want to mess with.
Now, I do use Anchor only to host a solo show where it's me talking, but I will never, ever, ever put my interviews on Ask Wynn. I use Simplecast for Ask Wynn because I did a podcast in Google and put my credit card on Lipson, and then Lipson shot back at me, "Well, if you don't update your credit card, your feed will be turned off." Mm-hmm. And so then I thought, well, I need to go with a hosting, keep a podcasting platform. But in the midst of it, Simplecast, because they're so new, they keep breaking my feet.
Oh, no.
They keep breaking my feet. And Ask Wynn gets... so I have now lost the trust in Simplecast. And I admit that publicly. I have lost the trust in Simplecast, and Simplecast knows it. And I trust Lipson with all my heart, because they're on social media, they're on everything, but Ask Wynn, I will still have the feed up as of August 12th of Ask Wynn, so you guys can go back and listen to the podcast, but I will be hosting my number one And my baby, A Diary of a Fashionista on Lipsa, and that's to the day I die.
Well, that's the kind of trust that they have established with you, and they want to do for other customers as well.
Yeah.
You brought up the idea of the broken feed from Simplecast. And taking Simplecast out of the equation for a moment, here's a big beef I have, Wynn, with pretty much all of the hosting providers. And many of these hosting providers are ran by very good friends of mine because I've been doing this for so long.
Yes.
But my argument is that it's, as much as I love the hosting providers and I love the fact that they make RSS feeds for us, we don't have to code RSS feeds by hand, which I did, by the way, for my very first show. I did hand code an RSS feed, but we don't have to do that anymore because the hosting companies now build the RSS feed for us, and the RSS feed is the lifeblood of a show. But my complaint is meaning the hosting companies, could do a better job in making sure that we don't accidentally either break or put in incorrect information, incomplete information, or other ways that might make our feeds unoptimized. No hosting provider, none of them, not even the great ones we've mentioned or the bad ones we've mentioned, in my opinion, do a very good job of making sure that the feed is good always. So one of the things that we're doing in the Advancing Podcasting Party, this new interesting little organization I announced just last week, Advancing Podcasting has a few different initiatives. One of them is to have some way of making sure that RSS feeds never, ever break. They're never unoptimized and they're never incomplete. It's a big task, but we're working on that because we want every podcaster, regardless of what hosting company that they're using, to have confidence and trust in their feed. So we're building a little something to help address that.
Well, I would love, Evo, to be a beta tester for that if I can. If you ever need beta testers with CP and can't trust podcast speed in your life, I'm happy to be the beta tester of that.
Great. Yeah, we need all the people involved we can. We threw a quick website up. It's advancingpodcasting.xyz. I love these new generic top-level domains. Advancingpodcasting.xyz. Just put yourself on the mailing list. You'll get an email from us to tell you kind of where we're standing, what's going on. And as we work towards getting these things released, because I talked about one, we actually have four different initiatives happening right now. We'll start communicating more, and absolutely, Wynn, we would love to have your involvement in the process as well as doing some good beta testing for us as well.
Yeah, because I admit I have trained someone else to update my shows, and I trained a person who I trust. Her name is Danielle Coulter. She happens to be my best friend with Sarah Palsy, and she started this project with me, and then I got her into podcasting because of the Diary of a Fashionista. I said, hey, do you want to do a podcast on your own with me facilitating, and I'll pay for it too? And she's like, yes, please, because because Danielle got the fuzzy end of the lollipop. She was so used to being behind the scenes and helping me with Ask Wynn. And I said, hey, why don't we do a podcast together as two best friends talking about women's issues and women's life with cerebral palsy? I mean, there's a concept.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great to have more than one brain working on a podcast.
Yes.
You've seen the same things I have seen, Wynn, on Twitter and Facebook groups and other social places where people say, hey, I've got a great idea for a podcast. I just need a co-host. Who wants to co-host this with me? Which is fine. I don't mind that. But what I would counsel a lot of those people, if you're asking that question, you probably also need someone in your corner who gets the technology. Because these interfaces, as much as we love some hosting companies that have been named here, they're not the most user-friendly. They're not
no,
the
they
most
are not.
Well
no,
designed.
They are not.
they really haven't considered the user experience or the user interaction. So it's smart of you to hand off a lot of that to someone else. And I think any podcaster starting out really and continuing needs to understand that there is it takes different parts of your brain to sit down and talk into a microphone, and then another section of your brain to do all of the editing and production around that podcast episode, and then a completely different part of your brain to put that content to create what you need to technically, from encoding to ID3 tags to uploading to writing the content that goes around it, the micro copy I call it, as well as distribution. There's a lot of work. There is a lot that goes in.
And I have a disability on top of it. So imagine my surprise when I came to Lovely Lips and realized their website isn't disabled at all. Thank you very much. I love you, Lips, but please, 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 please try and make your back end just a little bit more disabled, friendly. So that people with screen readers can at least look at the big behemoths, and the one is Amazon. Amazon, jeez, Amazon won't even work with the screen reader. Trust me, I had a blind author come on my podcast, and she goes, "When I'm going to buck and squawk at Amazon with you on this podcast, because it won't work with the screen reader." So, Lipson, even though I love you, can you please help us as a disabled podcasting community? There are very few of us. So, but I know that Lipson, and I know that Rob Walsh, and now Rob Greenway, Rob Walsh focuses more on the disabled aspect. And then they do a wonderful job, but I just wish they would help the disabled just a little bit more. But that hopefully they can hear this, and maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that, Wynn. I would love to see that happen. As one of the other initiatives we have going with Advancing Podcasting right now is some recommendations for hosting companies. Let's say that's what it is. And we've got people that are working that are interested in this. And I don't know. I need to find out. What are we adding accessibility as part of our checks as we go through that? Because we should be. There's no reason we should not do that. We should encourage good behavior, even though that, as you know, the vast majority of websites do not exhibit good behavior when it comes to this. But sure, we should point that out as part of our testing. So I'm making a note of that.
Yes, please, and I'll help you with that. I'll be your disabled girl. I love testing.
I'm holding you to that. So yeah, you just
volunteered. You're in. I have to get myself on the website, sign up, but then my job is taking the disabled testing queen of podcasting, here to say, because I have a disability myself, and even though I can see, it's still hard to function when the website was designed for able-bodied people, and no disabled was ever asked to make it. Anyway, that's my gripe, and I'm leaving it short, you guys, because I can get on disabled advocacy for hours and hours and hours. Anyway, Evil?
Yeah.
What would, once they get past episode, let's say 7, what would be the best advice from you to keep that podcast going? Because a lot of podcasts are defunct, including the ones, there are 17 podcasts all about cerebral palsy in Overcast, last time I checked. And all of them are defunct, except the ones with my name on them.
Okay, well, good for you on keeping the charge going on. So I'm going to answer that in two different ways, Wynn. And you're in the number seven you picked. It tends to be about the number that it takes before people get their have an understanding of what it is they're trying to do. A lot of shows tend to fade, but typically, if you make it to that seven mark, you've been through a lot of the trials and tribulations, and you can continue. So my first piece of advice is, when you hit seven and you want to make sure that you keep going, don't be afraid to go and question all of your assumptions. And if necessary, totally redo what you've been doing in your episodes. All too many people think, well, I started doing this show that was focused on this thing, but I have found in seven episodes now that I really want to gravitate more towards talking about this, but I don't want to disappoint my listeners. Do not worry about that. Do the things that make you happy, because it's not your listener growth that's going to keep you behind the microphone week after week. It's you doing something that you love and are interested in. So you have to be your best listener first. Make the show you want to make. Make the show you would like to hear. And do not be afraid to change that if that's the case. Pivot. Reinvent yourself. Do whatever you need.
I asked that question for myself. My fan base just got to hear a question that I asked for myself.
Yeah. And, you know, don't be afraid to rename your show. I mean, anything. You can do whatever you need to do to make your show happy. So that's advice piece number one. But my second thing I want to talk about, Wynn, is not every podcast is an ongoing event. Podcasting is big. Podcasting in audio, there are a lot of formats we can use and lots of formats we can utilize to put out to our listeners. You may have a topic you want to cover, listener, that will be done in seven episodes. So if that's the case, go ahead, make your seven episode podcast and be done with it and call it good. You don't have to keep pushing out content every single week just because seven episodes, well, you can tell the complete story in seven episodes, in 17 episodes, in 70 episodes. At some point in time, there's a natural end to a lot of things. Go ahead and plan for that now. And when that happens, when you get to your final episode, whatever it is, just tell the audience, this is it. This story is done. I have completed it. The end is here. Other places you can follow me are over there. Let people know when it is done. And don't be afraid to explore things that have a limited shelf, not a limited shelf life, but a limited amount of time before you can talk about them. That's fine. That's what documentaries are. That's what a lot of television series we wish would happen when they just end. Would you please end and not just kind of peter out and die? Yeah. So that's okay. I would tell people, you know, if you're afraid, a lot of people, when are really afraid of making that commitment. Oh, every week, 52 weeks a year for the rest of my life, am I going to do this? So don't even think about that. Think about what story you can tell in a limited time frame and go do that.
Yep. Now, as we tie this interview up, number one, where could people find you? Number two, do you have any questions for me?
Number one, you can, well, the great thing about having the name Evoterra is you just type that in and you'll probably find me. I do most of my social hanging out these days back on Twitter, where I'm simply at Evoterra, all one word. If you are interested and you want to know more about podcasting and you want this concept of forward-thinking podcasting, I do podcast pontifications every single day, well, Monday through Thursday. That's at podcastpontifications.com. And of course, I mentioned previously Advancing Podcasting XYZ. Crazy. Advancingpodcasting.xyz if you would like some information or to get involved with the process that we are doing. My question for you, Wynn, is you've been doing this for a while, with lots of different shows that you've been a part of or that you have hosted in there. I guess my question for you is, what are you surprised didn't happen? What was your goal you set at some point for your podcast and it didn't actually come true?
I wanted way back when 700 downloads on the release day. That has not happened. I don't think it will ever happen because cerebral palsy is such a niche in itself that it's a niche beyond niche. And I'm the people with cerebral palsy. I don't follow the cerebral palsy straight and narrow line at all. I just lost my dad, by the way, May 19th. But I am now living on my own with help, essentially, because I need 24-hour care. But I am now living on my own. I'm not put in a home. I'm doing a podcast. I am home. When I say home, I mean assistant living home. I'm doing a podcast. So I am not falling. I beat to my own drum. And so does my girlfriend and Danielle. So that being said, if you want to hear the poor, poor, pitiful me, disability, oh, have pity on me stories, nope, you're not going to hear that on Aslan nor the Diary of a Fashionista. So I am surprised that the 700 downloads on release day did not happen, but I have accepted the fact that cerebral palsy is a niche beyond niche, and I accepted that fact the day after my dad was diagnosed with cancer, and he actually had stage 4 lung cancer, you guys, so the hospital released him to a nursing home / to die, essentially, and so I accepted the fact more and more as I watched my both parents die, actually. Mom died in 2010, and then Dad died in 2019. And so I've accepted the fact that, look, I have cerebral palsy. Look, I'm a disabled advocate, but I won't be getting the thousands and thousands of downloads that I wanted at the beginning of my podcast with Jimmy.
Well, that's first, I'm sorry for your loss of your parents, obviously, and that unfortunately a natural course of human events, right? That definitely happens. And you're right, the expectations that we set for ourselves, especially as they center around metrics and numbers, are always or quite often a little different than the reality of the podcasting world. I mean, for all that we have grown in podcasting, still there are 70 some odd percent of the population who haven't yet joined those of us that listen to podcasts on a regular basis. Even though most people have listened to a podcast when you ask them, 51% was the most recent, still only like mid-20s are listening on a consistent basis to show, which means that, you know, I don't get discouraged by that number. I mean, I'm encouraged by that number. I'm encouraged because that means there are 75% of the people out there who say podcasting has nothing for me, so why should I try it? Which by the way, is the most common reason people give when asked why they don't listen to podcasts, is they think they have nothing to offer. But I think people like you who are giving someone something to offer that they can't find in other places. They can't turn on the radio and get stories like the, like yours. That's not an option to them. So for the, there are a lot of people out there who want to hear your story. They just haven't discovered it yet because they haven't yet discovered podcasting. So making really great content for the people who don't yet listen is a good idea. What's that?
You definitely made me feel better. Made me feel better because people want to hear the encouraging story of cerebral palsy. They just have to find it in a different way, you guys. You guys just have to share this amazing podcast / A Diary of a Fashionista with your friends. It's not like I'm hiding under the rock, and it's not like I'm doing the disabled advocacy work. I'm just not on the traditional radio waves to be doing the disabled advocacy work.
Well, I wish you all the best as you move forward to that, and I do think there are a growing number of people out there who will discover content like yours.
Well, I hope so, and let's keep rocking and mulling in the podcasting space. And Evo, I wish you the best of luck too. And I am, as I said, ending Ask Win on August 12th, but I will continue in the podcasting space doing more and more with Cerebral Palsy. And I hope you guys enjoyed another fabulous episode with Evo and I and Ask Win. And I hope you guys keep continuing listening to Ask Win, even when the bookends shut this chapter of my life on August 12th. I just want to keep my story out there and keep the feed out there. But yes, I'll be doing the Diary of a Fashionista more consistently on a consistent basis. And Danielle and I are going to have fun with that one. And I'm going to slowly but surely teach people that don't know about podcasting how to subscribe to a podcast. I mean, I gave my godmother access to my podcast. She goes, "You're going to have to teach me how to subscribe to a podcast." And my stepmom said the exact same way. She goes, "Good for you." When I couldn't even host a podcast, let alone listen to one. So I think that's what we have to do as a community of podcasters and as a community of listeners. And I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Evo. And let me know, or let Evo know if you have any questions. Evo is the best way to contact you on Twitter or what?
By your website. Twitter, you can also go to a website, evoterra.com, works out fine. If you're interested in the services that I offer, that's at podcastlaunch.pro. So however you want to reach out to me is fine. I'm everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere, but under a rock, as someone once said to me. So Evo, I'm going to let you go back to your amazing work, and I hope that our paths cross again soon. Thanks, you guys. Bye.